Chapter 38. Arion. It was late. Arion took a deep breath and closed the door to the king's study. It had been a long meeting. But with the troubling events of the past week, he had half expected the discussions to last clear through the night. As it was, the king wasn't feeling well, and had suggested they resume their talks in the morning. Arion, for one, was more than happy to take a break and try to get some rest for what he knew would be another grueling session with Commander Tolan and the High King on the morrow. Other than those of the High Guard on night patrol and a few of the night staff working to have things prepared for the following morning, the palace was asleep. Arion found the empty halls somewhat refreshing. It allowed him to gather his thoughts regarding the evening's rigorous deliberations. He decided to take a less travelled route back to his chambers. In a place the size of the royal palace, there were plenty of avenues a person could take to get from one destination to another, some less frequented than others, and a few that were untravelled altogether. As one of the former street rats of Eremor, Arion had, at times, found ways of sneaking into the palace to pinch food, clothing, blankets, and, on the not-so-rare occasion, an item or two valuable enough to sell at market. It was during one of those raids that he had first run into Dakarin. The prince, having no one else his age to play with, had forgone the pleasure of turning Arion and his friends, Reavy, Kira, and Poe, into the palace guards to be flogged and imprisoned, and instead had invited them to spend that time rummaging the halls, playing various forms of hide-and-seek. It had been tremendous fun. In the process, Arion had learned a great deal about the inner passageways flowing throughout the palace. The memories brought a chuckle to his lips. He recalled the first time the queen had found them. He thought for sure they were going to spend the rest of their days locked away in some dark and scary dungeon. Much to his surprise, she had, in its place, treated them to a banquet, or at least what seemed like one to a 13-year-old boy. Afterward, they were each given a new change of clothes and sent on their way. Even to this day, the queen's disposition had not changed. She was one of the most giving and forgiving of women Arion had ever known. Arion came to the end of another quiet hall. The wall sconces in that section of the palace were not as maintained as the more frequently travelled areas. More than a few had burned out, leaving the lonely corridor cut in shadow. Turning right, he planned to take one of the east stairwells down to the next floor, when he spotted a figure up ahead, slipping out of one of the storage rooms. There was a large sack slung over their shoulder. Whoever it was wore a dark cloak with its hood up, hiding the person's face from Arion's view. His suspicion piqued, Arion quickly moved against the wall and watched as the figure entered the stairwell on the far end of the passageway. Already planning on taking that route, he quickly followed, making sure to keep to the shadows as he moved down the corridor. What was someone doing back here at this time of night? Whoever it was clearly didn't want to be seen, and knew the palace well enough to maneuver around the staff. Arion followed the hooded figure down the stairwell, but instead of getting off at the next floor, they descended all the way to the bottom, which led to an outer passageway behind the kitchens. Up ahead, Arion could see the person stop just outside the cook's entrance and press their ear against the door. For a brief moment, Arion had the feeling of being a child once again, chasing his friends around the darker recesses of the palace, looking for where they had been hiding. He was half tempted to jump out and holler, "Gotcha!" But as fun as that might be to scare the blazes out of whoever this mysterious person was, he decided to hold back and watch. If this turned out to be something more than one of the cleaning staff helping themselves to a couple of extra blankets, then he wanted to let it play out and see if there were any others involved. The sneak thief shifted the half-filled sack to the other shoulder and stepped through the door. As a child, the palace kitchens were one of Arian's favourite places to hide. The smell of the exotic foods being prepared was beyond anything he could have ever imagined living on the streets. Arian had been sure that, when he died, the afterlife couldn't have fared much better. Slipping into the room, he worked his way along the back wall behind large crates of fresh sea crab and watched as the thief went about filling their sack with whatever food they could get their hands on. Arian was reminded of how many times he had done the same. Whoever the cloaked individual was, it was clear they were not a child. In fact, even with the heavy material, it was hard to conceal the figure of the woman inside. Arian moved a little closer, hoping to find a better vantage point to see who was behind the hood, when he realized he had lost sight of the woman altogether. His eyes darted around the room, but the piles of boxes and barrels and stacks of fresh crates from the ocean markets kept her from view. With great care to keep to the shadows, he worked his way through the maze of food stores, poking his head up every now and then to see if he could spot the food bandit, but he had somehow managed to lose her. To his left, he heard one of the loading doors creak. They led out to the lower courtyards, right across from the stables. Arian smiled. This was a route he had taken on several occasions himself. Quickly, he worked his way around to the back entrance and slid the door open just enough to peek through. He could see the woman crossing the yard toward the back of the stables. She must have a horse already waiting for her. He was enjoying this cat-and-mouse game a little too much. Opening the door the rest of the way, he stepped out and stood with his back against the stone wall. He wanted to keep out of the light from the standing torch poles that lined the inner courtyard. Within moments, the cloaked thief rode out from behind the stables. She looked to be heading for the main gate. The direction she was taking would lead her right past where he stood. He flattened himself against the wall. He could feel his swords pressing against his back. He hoped his dark clothing was enough to keep him hidden. As the woman passed, she turned her head just enough for him to catch a glimpse of the face beneath. His mouth dropped. He couldn't have been more surprised had it been the queen herself, but there was no mistaking those bright green eyes and tuft of golden hair. It was Americia. The woman who had stolen his heart was now stealing the king's biscuits. What in the world did she need with a bag of food? She lived at the palace, ate at the palace, waited on the queen hand and foot. And yet, here she was sneaking around in the middle of the night, pilfering wares like a common bag snatcher. This was far too interesting to leave unresolved. Arian raced across the courtyard and grabbed the closest mound. Being the guardian protector had its perks. Not being questioned by the palace stable hands was one of them. Without saddling, he seized a handful of mane and leaped on its back. He dug in his boots to spur the horse forward as Lauren, the royal hostler on duty, watched in silence. Arian took the central route past the upper gardens and across the front courtyard. He wanted to make sure he didn't lose her before she crossed the palace bridge. If she made it into the city before he did, there would be no following. Thankfully, he reached the outer bailey in time to see her horse passing under the main gates. Urging his own mount on, he followed her across the enormous structure connecting the island of rock to the mainland, and from there, into the city. He could feel his blood pumping. His earlier fatigue had vanished. His mind raced at the prospects of where Americia was going. Seeing this unexpected side of her was a little troubling, but also a little rousing. He spent the next hour making sure to stay far enough back not to be seen or heard, as their horses' shoes echoed off the empty streets. She didn't seem to be in a great hurry. After passing through the upper north quarters into Bayside, with its wealthy mansions overlooking the harbour, she skirted the west side of the merchant district and headed south into Cheapside. Cheapside, for those living in the lower regions of Erremore, was known as the Maze. It was a city within a city. The compact housing of the lower class was fraught with interconnecting ways, streets, side passages, and narrow alleys hardly large enough for a grown man to fit through. For those unfamiliar with its design, a person could get lost for days, never finding their destination. Arian knew the Maze like the back of his hand. Memories of his former life flooded back with each new direction they took. He could remember his time with the street tribes, the battles fought, the friends made, the lessons learned, many of which had helped him rise to where he was today. He could remember the temple, home of his former street tribe, Hurricane, and their weasel-faced leader, Spats. Hurricane had been the first tribe Arian had joined after entering the city. It was hard to think about his brief time with the tribe without also remembering the Pit, where he had first faced Flesh Eater in battle and lived to tell about it. Arian took a deep breath. The salty air coming off the water was strong and familiar in a way that drew him back to his childhood and the time he'd spent at the granary with Reavy. It had been Reavy who had first befriended him, saved him, actually. The little crippled healer had found Arian bleeding his life away in a puddle after having been attacked by a street tribe known as Wildfire. Its leader was a strong-willed girl, known to all as Red, because of the blood-red vest she always wore. But Arian eventually came to know her as Kira. So many memories. It seemed a lifetime ago, or maybe it had been someone else's life altogether. It had been too long since his last visit with Reavy. Arian's duties as protector had forced him to neglect his best friend. It was something he felt a heavy sorrow for. Arian urged his horse a little faster to close the distance. He was growing concerned. This was a rough section of Erremore. A person could get mugged, stabbed, and tossed into the bay without anyone being the wiser. Up ahead, he knew they were approaching one of the old shipping districts that had long since gone under. There were a number of abandoned warehouses that had been repurposed by the local street tribes as housing for their members. Amaricia pulled back on her reins in front of one of the smaller stone buildings and climbed down. Part of its walls had begun to collapse from neglect. The building had been an office at one time, running the operations of a few of the nearby depositories. What was she up to? Arian led his horse off to the side of a building a few streets down. Quietly, he worked his way around to the building opposite of where she stood. He kept his eyes open, scanning every window, every door, every dark corner and hole for signs of movement. A person who let their guard down this close to the Warrens was a person not long for this world. With practiced feet, he moved along the fronts of the derelict structures, his black leathers melding him within the cover of a clouded night. He felt as though he was coming home. His first full year in Erremore was spent in a small room under an abandoned warehouse not 3 blocks from there. The time he had spent there with Reavy as a 12-year-old boy was some of the best and worst times of his life. The front door of the building Amaricia was facing opened, and 3 cloaked figures stepped out. One was a little taller than she was, the other 2 were shorter, Arian crouched in front of the next building over and waited. The three figures didn't appear menacing. Their hands were empty at their sides, and their posture, though alert, was non-threatening. The taller individual exchanged a quick greeting. Arian was too far away to hear what they were saying, but soon after the exchange, she turned and unhooked the large sack from her saddle and dropped into step behind them as they entered the three-story building. "That's just great," he mumbled. "How am I going to get in there without being seen?" Frantically, he scanned the building, looking for the path of least resistance, when he noticed that the second-floor balcony door on the side was ajar. Taking a moment to study the surrounding buildings to make sure he was alone, Arian raced across the alley. He hopped up on a pile of loose crates and, using them as leverage, he leaped into the air and performed a move like one of the circus performers for the royal court by grabbing hold of one of the crossbeams sticking out from under the floor of the balcony and swinging himself up to the railing. From there, it was a quick leap up and over. He smiled. He hadn't done something like that in a long time. As quietly as he could, he opened the door and moved inside. He could hear voices in the distance. Careful to keep to the outside edge of the narrow hall and away from the creaking floorboards at the center, he followed the corridor till he came to an opening that overlooked the main floor below. The room was lit with a smattering of thick tallow candles and a couple of brass lamps with polished reflectors. Americia stood at the center, still holding her large grain sack. She didn't appear to be apprehensive, but from where Arian stood, it was hard to tell. All around the room, he could feel the presence of eyes watching her. Even though he couldn't see them, he knew she was surrounded. What had she gotten herself mixed up in? The location alone was enough to tell him this was one of the Cheapside Street tribes. Which one he didn't know. They seemed to rise and fall every year, something he knew plenty about, having been the head of his own tribe years ago. There was something going on underneath the balcony on which he was currently standing. He couldn't see what it was, but he could hear raised voices. He needed a better vantage point. Very few entered a street tribe's lair without first being invited, and even then, it was typically for some kind of parley with a representative from another tribe. Americia kept her back straight. She showed no outward sign of fear. Fear on the streets was like blood to a school of sharks. They could smell it a mile away. Directly below, a group walked out from under the balcony. At their head was a large brute of a boy. Unlike most of the others, he had lighter hair, which made him stick out from the rest. He was clearly this tribe's chieftain. Arian couldn't tell much from where he was, but what he could see was the large mallet the boy was holding behind his back. Americia stood there completely oblivious to the danger she was in. Arian couldn't wait any longer. He moved to the far side of the walkway to get a running start. Taking a deep breath, he counted to three and charged.